Welcome to another edition of The Silent Consensus from thesilentconsensus.blogspot.com. And now, here's your host, Ben.
Hey, everybody. This is Ben with The Silent Consensus. We have here Nelson Lee Walker from tenurecorrupts.com. Nelson, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here.
So you're from tenurecorrupts.com. What is it you advocate?
Ben, basically what I'm doing is trying to educate the American public that they're doing themselves a disservice when they allow their elected representative to serve too long in office.
And why are they doing themselves a disservice?
Essentially, I'm trying to reinforce the principle that tenure corrupts, which I believe has been validated throughout history. In other words, any time any official, whether he's a top leader or a local governor or what, has been in office, in any given office, for a very long time, 90% of them, if not more, become essentially corrupt in the sense that they no longer perform the service for which they were elected. And it just doesn't work. They become too comfortable, too friendly with people who have other than the people's interest in mind. In other words, for example, too friendly with a given contractor who wants to build roads, and so he gets his contracts without bidding and so forth. That's a very simple explanation, where the job of being a legislator has become a relatively desirable job. As compared to when we started our country, it was hard to get to Washington by horse, by carriage, with no motels handy. It took days, if not weeks, to get there. You weren't paid very much. It was really a grueling civic duty. And people didn't stay in those jobs very long. But nowadays, when you have rapid transportation paid for with your perquisites, your travel allowances, you have a fairly nice salary, extremely generous benefits, more so than most people have from their companies or other insurance plans and so forth, it becomes so desirable as a career job, not as a civic duty, that they no longer pay any attention to what is right to do, but rather what is likely to get them reelected indefinitely.
Yeah, but aren't we the people the ones responsible for voting them out if once they become like that?
Absolutely. Now, that's one of the weaknesses of a representative democracy, in the sense that a great many of the people don't take their voting responsibility very seriously, in the sense that they think that they're doing their duty when they go and vote for their party. They go and vote just to say, I voted. They go and vote for the guy that's been in there because, well, they heard his name, and who knows what the replacement guy might be like. And it's hard for me to say that the people are irresponsible, but really that's what it amounts to. In other words, they don't take their job that seriously. That, for example, if a legislator brings home the pork, they say, gee, he's a good man. He does things for our neighborhood or our area. But they don't attach to that the fact that other people in the country are paying for this benefit that they got from their legislator, whereas if they had to vote for it specifically and be taxed for it, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the elected officials are looking out for their constituents, which is all well and good, but they do it at the expense of the national interest.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay, so it's like you used to advocate term limits to deal with this problem, but you recently changed it up. What do you advocate now?
Well, what I'm advocating now, at the time I was trying to get term limits, I said, well, if we make enough noise, maybe it'll happen. And I've been, of course, in my little way, making noise about term limits, listening to the way things happen in the country. Nothing is ever going to happen with congressional term limits. The only alternative we have where they cannot stop us, if we can get organized, is to not reelect any of them. Get all of them out. In effect, the ideal thing would be to have a 100% turnover in Congress. Now, that'll never happen, but if we could get the reelection rate in the House to drop down from 98% down to 85%, that would panic them. You've got to do it by some drastic measure, and I think drastic measure is never reelect. And that's been my sounding theme for a few months now, and I'm going to stick to that until I drop dead.
So pretty much always vote for the challenger to the incumbent.
Always vote for the challenger. In other words, the long-term goal is to save our country. And to save our country from a dictatorial Congress is we've got to have congressional turnover. And if we don't get congressional turnover, our liberty is going down the tubes. We will eventually have permanent congresspeople. Oh, yeah, they'll talk about we have a representative republic. And that's plain baloney. When 98% of them get reelected, and it's been more frequent now, and eventually it's going to be 100%, people will just quit voting. And you call it a democracy?
Yeah, you're right. We only have a democracy in theory, so to speak, not
That's
in
right.
practice. Yeah, it's like, you know, I completely supported you on term limits, but yet on the idea of always voting for the challenger to your congressperson, to be honest, I find that a little nuts.
I agreed. It is a desperate measure. It's a case where the end justifies the means, and forget all the little things that happen in the meantime, whether or not we're drilling, whether or not we're having health insurance, whether or not, you know, all of those things don't count. What counts is we're not having any turnover in Congress. And the less turnover we have, the less we're going to have. And eventually, we won't have any. And when I say any, remember, I'm talking in a practical sense that you'll always have one or two congressmen here or there being dying or getting replaced. But I mean, eventually, we won't have any choice. We'll have more and more unopposed congressional seats running.
Yeah, and it's all making sense as it is already happening. But yet, would you even support voting out someone like Tom Coburn?
Oh, it kills me to do that. But how do you suggest I rephrase or reformat my campaign? I mean, vote for some of them, don't vote for others. Think about whether this guy's a good guy or a bad guy. It hasn't worked. People don't do that. They vote for the name they recognize. And I'm trying to address the great mass of the public, not the people who really think. The people who really think can say, we know what Walker means, but I'll vote for Coburn because that's going too far. I understand that. What I want to do is make a dent, and I think when we go down from 98% reelection rates down to 80%, we'll have an impact. And I'm just trying to be a zealot, in other words, deliberately being a zealot, understanding I'm being a zealot, because I'm saying you gotta bring the hammer down hard. And if you have an idea, suggestions on how to modify the extremism and still be effective, okay, I'll listen.
You're openly a conservative guy.
I'm openly conservative, but I'm not interested in defending the conservatives. I'm interested in defending the integrity of our Congress, which is now zilch.
Yeah. So you would be willing to vote for a Democratic candidate for Congress if the incumbent is a Republican?
To be continued.
That was Ben with The Silent Consensus, someday to be the spoken consensus. For more information, or if you would like to comment, visit thesilentconsensus.com or email Ben at ben@thesilentconsensus.com. If you liked this podcast, tell your friends to start tuning in. On behalf of Ben, thanks for listening. Welcome to another edition of The Silent Consensus from thesilentconsensus.com. And now, here's your host, Ben.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to part two of my interview with Nelson Lee Walker from tenurecorrupts.com. Today, he will answer the question and say more about whether he would vote against his own views just to make the point of term limits.
Oh, of course. See, I don't care about party politics anymore. The party on both sides stinks. I'm a conservative whose first concern is the health of the American Republic. I would agree with term limits, but if I can't get term limits and they won't even let me bring it up, I say, okay, I'm not going to vote for any of them until I make a dent in the re-election rates.
Okay, so pretty much the idea of never re-electing your congressperson, it is kind of an intermediate thing. You don't want them to re-elect their congressperson until we have term limits.
That's right. I think it's desperately necessary, and it's the only alternative the people have to take back their government.
So yes, it's pretty much, this is an intermediate thing. You're hoping that we'll never reelect our congressperson, get term limits, so then we can go back to limited reelections.
Go back to if we get term limits, you can go back to voting for party, voting for your favorite crook, voting for whatever. But at least it's term limits, and then we get turnover in Congress. And I think if we have turnover in Congress, you know, in spite of the fact that I'm beginning to lose faith in the great American people anyway, I say, you know, I've always believed in the American public in the sense that on the whole, the left, right, middle, whatever, they will want to do the right thing. But when it comes to narrow parochial actions like vote for your local alderman or vote for your local congressman, if no urgent issue is really involved, they don't think that much about it. They vote for name recognition.
All right, this is all very interesting. It's like, ultimately, I completely share the goal of term limits, and I totally understand where you're coming from.
Right, but I understand.
Sadly, though, I'm not able to agree on the intermediate step for, I'm sure, reasons you understand.
You may agree that we should have congressional term limits. And if you decide that you're going to join the fight to try and get it, how will you push forth the idea of congressional term limits in order to get it?
I mean, I will tell you, I haven't really thought of it, but as far as just analyzing your proposal of never reelecting your congressman, if I'm voting for someone who represents me less just for the sake of never reelecting anyone, I feel like I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face.
That's because you're only looking at your nose. How about looking for the long pull? What about the future of Congress? You see, the point is, and I think talking with you makes me all the more convinced that never reelect is the only way to go. Because there are many, many people like you who feel, well, gee, that doesn't sound right. I mean, I can't do it. I can't buy this extremist position. And so, with your reasonableness, you go down the tubes with everybody else. You're being reasonable. And Congress is not being reasonable. They are dead set against term limits, and they're never going to let you get it. So how are you going to get it? You got to get rid of the Congress. And how do you get rid of the Congress? You vote for everybody who is not in Congress. And by the way, one of the reasons that you might have to vote for somebody, like if you're a Democrat, you might have to vote for a Republican or vice versa, because your guy is running unopposed in his party. And why is he running unopposed in his party? He doesn't have term limits.
Exactly, because he will win in the general, most likely.
That's right. If you think about it long enough, and you think about it in terms of the final objective for the country, if you don't have a turnover in Congress, it will be dictatorial. There's no question about it.
Yeah, you are totally right about that, about it being dictatorial with no turnover. And like, so just ultimately you're saying never reelect your congressman. It will send the message to Congress, even if they didn't advocate term limits when they were running, that they should enact term limits. Yeah, makes sense. And I am up against the clock. So was there anything you wanted to say that we didn't cover?
I hope this my tirade has made a dent in your psyche so that you come around to never reelecting your congressman, period. Because the extreme position is the only one that's going to make a dent. Because remember, the extreme position will succeed in bringing over a relatively few people. So that instead of getting a 98% reelection rate, we'll get an 80% reelection rate. And if we do that, I would consider it successful, even if it didn't carry the day. But that would make a point. Right now, we're nowhere near making any point.
Yeah, so pretty much, you advocate something extreme, it's extreme, and yet you realize that this extreme position is not going to end up being the most extreme outcome possible.
Of course
not. You're glad about that.
Yeah, right. I just want to make enough of a dent to make a media splash.
Yeah, that is totally awesome. If anyone wants to get involved, how should they go about doing so?
Spread the word. Tell all their friends not to reelect anybody. I mean,
yeah.
You know, this could apply even to local elections. This applies anywhere. I hear people complaining about school boards. I hear people complaining about town boards, or town councils, or whatever you call them, and they still reelect these jerks. The point is, reelection should be limited, even when they're good people, because they always sour later.
Well, and it's just the principle that government is a brief civic duty.
Exactly. It's a brief civic duty. It is not a career.
All right. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Okay, Ben. Anytime.
Yes,
and I hope I've convinced you.
That was Ben with The Silent Consensus, someday to be the spoken consensus. For more information, or if you would like to comment, visit thesilentconsensus.com or email ben@thesilentconsensus.com. If you liked this podcast, tell your friends to start tuning in. On behalf of Ben, thanks for listening.